That's it?
Yes.
It's 76, mostly every day. Occasionally, you might see a little bit of fog. That's just a guy next door running his sprinkler. So, New Year's. I don't do holidays a whole lot, and you'll find out why today. I don't do holidays a whole lot, and New Year's was always one of those holidays that never made sense to me. Most holidays,
you've got, Thanksgiving. Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the very incarnate God. Easter, we celebrate him dying for our sins. You know, there's always some great, great thing, like Valentine's Day. Okay. Those are single men that laughed, I hope. yeah, Valentine's Day, right. Anyway, so New Year's. In a Denny household, I grew up, I'm the youngest of five kids, one brother, three sisters. Youngest of five, we never celebrated New Year's. It was just another day. However, it is interesting, I guess, that we celebrated Christmas on New Year's Day. Why not? You get Christmas wrap free, or, you know, toys are a lot cheaper. Especially if you go to the return section. So that's what I told my kids, you know. Christmas is on New Year's. They didn't go for it, though. Anyway, so New Year's is not real big on my, you know, specialty thing. Again, because every day is the same when you're living in Southern California. In Southern California, near December area, my mother's from New Hampshire. So my grandmother and uncle were living in New Hampshire, and they would always send pictures. And we would have, in the Press Courier, Oxnard Press Courier, we would have a full-page article with picture of the people in New Hampshire or New York wearing refrigerator cardboard boxes because of the wind. I mean, I've lived in Pennsylvania for a while. I know that wind cuts right through you. Okay. So we got a full-page picture of these people in New York wearing cardboard boxes next to a picture of the girls out at our beach in bikinis. You know, middle of December and you're wearing bikinis. That's why you live here in North Carolina, right? Man, North Carolina is beautiful. I love it. Karen and I were sitting out on the porch and we're thinking, you know, last place I'd have raised my head and said, I want to live in North Carolina. Man, I'm sure glad we came. So I wanted to do a couple of things I want to point out. So tonight we're going to have a New Year's little celebration. We're going to get together and have a meal. This is very important for a couple of reasons. You know, when I was first saved, way back when, a long time ago, when I was first saved, we had a Bible study on Friday night. You know why you have a Bible study on Friday night? Because when you're in college, what happens on Friday night? Dang, sports. You didn't grow up in California. The college I went to, Friday night, when I leave classes and come to, you know, our off-campus dorm, there was a cloud of marijuana smoke. And I got to take a deep breath. I'm not saved, mind you. I'm not a Christian, but still, I don't want any of that stuff in me. So I got to take this deep breath and try to run up the stairs. So the reason why we do Friday night Bible studies is if you're in college, it's a place to go. It's not going to be alcohol, not going to be wild parties type of thing. The reason why we do fall festival, because there's all kinds of nonsense going on Halloween. And so we do fall festival for a place to come where you can bring your kids and you don't have to be a part of that. The reason why, you know, the biggest party night of the year, New Year's Eve, right? New Year's Eve. So come here, New Year's Eve, and it's a safe place. It's a safe place. Bring your family, bring your kids. No alcohol, nothing like that. Just a good lot of fun. We used to bring games. I don't know if we still do that anymore, but we used to bring games, and some of the ladies just get, it's like, what was it? Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, they become animals at the parties. It's terrible. So anyway, that should give Whitney plenty of time. So New Year's, one of the things, if you work outside to a company, and I do encourage that, by the way, a lot of people I came to, when I came to Christ, a lot of people, they love this idea of working for yourself, working independent, working for yourself and all that. There is something for working for a secular boss. You learn a lot about humility. You learn a lot about humility. Something else about living, I've talked with some ladies, and I'll be careful here, there are no young women here, young women, about rooming together, finding another young woman, not a young man, another young woman, and room together. Young men, find another young man, room together. You know why? Because if you don't know how to live with somebody else before you're married, okay. Hey, I learned a lot. I had my first roommate once I became saved was a guy named Bob Hegler. Bob Hegler was he was slightly older than I. We were both bachelors to the rapture. That wasn't by choice. Basically, we had no prospects whatsoever, right? So bachelors to the rapture, Bob and I. My job, I got up early in the morning, 4:30, had my quiet time, and then I'm on a train up to San Francisco. I lived in the Bay Area. Up on a train to San Francisco, working with other people, working in a big office with other people. Then I come home. I'm home about 7:30. I've had all day with people. Thank you very much. I just want to go veg out in my room. Okay. Bob's job, Bob worked in technology, Hewlett Packard. His job was in a little tiny cubicle with no one around, no one to talk to all day long, all day long. He got off work about 3 o'clock. He's at home, got no one to talk with, no one to talk with. So when I got home, I wanted, leave me alone. Bob wants talk. I learned it's very important. So I would spend time with Bob and we'd talk. Understand, those of you who would like to get married someday, you had better learn that practice. You had better learn that practice. All right, that's enough. All right, so topic for today. I did this a while back. If you're an old person like me, maybe you remember it. We have a lot of new people here, so this might be good. It's about the Feast of Israel. In particular, I told you that New Year's Eve was never a big thing for me. Then while I'm studying the Word of God, I find out God had a celebration, a Feast of Israel, on New Year's Day. Wow. All right, so maybe I need to pay a little more attention to New Year's Day. So New Year's Day is one of the feasts of Israel we're going to talk about. They don't call it New Year's Day. They call it the Feast of the Shofar, I think it is. So I'm skipped over to one. What's it mean to me? But I will mention a little bit. What's it mean to you living here today? What do you care about the Feast of Israel? Well, if you're a student of the Word of God, it'll help to understand these things a bit when you go through them. And things will pop out at you a little bit. So it's good while you're reading, even if you're not a student of the Word of God, while you're reading and it talks about feasts, to understand some of the background behind these things. First of all, Jewish times. How Jews tell time. In the beginning, God created light, and God separated the light and called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And there was evening and morning, one day. So the Jews count time a little different from us. It goes from sundown to sundown is a day. So 6 o'clock at night about, the 6 o'clock the next night is what they call a day. We call a day typically from midnight on. Okay. So if we're talking about the 14th day of the month, it would start on the 13th day at twilight, at nighttime. Then they do a week a little differently. they do a week of 7 days. Again, that's because of the 7 days of creation. Have you ever thought, was it possible for God, who can do anything, to create it all in one time? Just say be, and everything is. But God separates. God separates. He creates light. Then he has this thing called, and there was evening and there was morning one day. You ever read through the book of Psalms? When you read through the books of Psalms, there's this thing in there called Selah or Shelah, the pause. The Jews aren't really sure exactly what that is. It may be a little musical interlude, but they believe at the time to reflect upon what was just spoken. So as you go through a psalm and you read, and then there's a Shelah, okay, I'm going to think about what God has said. There's a pause, and he's going to bring up another topic. But, well, that's what I see in creation. And there was evening and there was morning one day. Okay. God says, stop now, Skip. Think about it. But he creates for 6 days, and then the seventh day, God rested because he was exhausted. No, God rested for a reason. Okay? And the last day is a Sabbath. But don't mistake that Sunday is a Sabbath. Sunday is the first day. Saturday is the last day. And then we have the moon. The month is based on a lunar cycle. The Sanhedrin checks out what the moon looks like. When they see the first sliver of the new moon, they announce a new month. So the first day of the month is the first sliver of a new moon. That's a lunar cycle. Then we have the solar cycle, the year. The solar cycle. Passover must be done in the spring, by the way. That's because in Numbers, now I can't remember the book, Numbers, God calls that month Abib. And Abib means the greenness. So they always want to make sure that the Passover in a month. So the solar cycle. So let's look at a month. The lunar cycle, the moon travels around the earth about 29 and a half days. So their months are 6 months of 29 days and 6 months of 30 days. That's how they do it. So 12 months in a year going 30 and 29. But that doesn't quite cut it because the year is 12.4, 365.25. You know that, right? 365 and a quarter. That's why every 4 years we have what we call a leap year. Okay. So a year is typically 12 months. Typically, notice that, typically. See, if you do 29 or 30 days every month, you come out to 354. I have 354 days total. That's not quite it, because a year is 365. If you kept with that schedule, you're 11 days too short the first year. Now you're 22 days short the next year. Then you're 33 days short the next year. And pretty soon, you're celebrating the Passover in wintertime, and that's not accepted. You know, you celebrate the Passover in the spring. So what the Jews do is they every once in a while, they'll throw a 13th month in there. How about that? The Sanhedrin will announce we're having a 13th year, and we'll look at that a bit. 13 year months, of course, is 384 days. That's a little bit too much. So if you do 12 months, 350, now you're 11 days short. Then you do 13 months, that's 19 days long. So you end up with 8 days too long, and so on and so on. So let's take a look. Jewish calendar. We want to point this out also. The Avram was renamed Abraham. Sometimes I pronounce it Avram, sometimes I pronounce it Abraham. forgive me for that, but in Hebrew, the B, the bravo, sounds like our V for Victor. Okay. So Abraham was renamed Abraham. When that happens, you never ever see his name referred to as Abram again. It's always Abraham. Once God changed his name, it was always Abraham. So Jacob is renamed Israel. Jacob is named Israel. And as I go through my Bible after that time, remember he has that wrestle? Okay. After that time, he keeps naming him Jacob. Why is that? Why are you naming him Jacob? I thought you changed his name to Israel. God himself will refer to him as Jacob. So Jacob has two names, two relationships. His name, Jacob, identifies it with his social position, his position horizontally with all other mankind. He's named Jacob. Jacob, the deceiver. Jacob, the one who grabs the heel. His relationship with other sons of men. But his spiritual name, Israel, refers to his relationship with the one true God. That's his vertical relationship. If you're here today and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a vertical relationship. If you're not a believer, you don't have a vertical relationship with God. That's something you need. But all of us believers, we have kind of two characters. How I relate to other people in the world and how I relate to God. Two names and two calendars. You'll recall the nation of Israel had their social calendar, New Year. The New Year began in the first of Tishri. That's how you pronounce that name, Tishri. The first of Tishri was their New Year. But at the time of the Exodus, you recall, God said to Moses, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Now remember, as you'll see, Tishri is a new year to all the people around there. All the people around there celebrate that as their new year. But to the nation of Israel, you have a different calendar now. You have a new calendar, a spiritual calendar that begins the first of Nisan. Nisan is a formal name. God calls it Abib, like I said, meaning springtime. So again, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, these two calendars picture you have a relationship being physical in this world as a human being born of man. But if you've been born again, you have a new relationship, you have a new name, you have a new calendar. All right, here's the Jewish calendar. I put it up here in the spiritual realm. So Nisan or Abib starts off the year. It's roughly somewhere in our March-April time frame, and there's 30 days in that one. And it's the year, the month that we celebrate the Passover. They celebrate the Passover. Then there's Iyar, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. I don't pronounce these things that well. Elul, and here's Tishri, okay, the seventh month. Now, Tishri would be the first month if this was a social calendar. Throw in all these things up here and relating to them, Pentecost. Here we have, in the month of Tishri, you have Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Here's where they would throw the additional month if they needed, Adar 1 and then Adar Bet. So, usually 29 days in that month, but they'll have another Adar. They'll announce we're having a what's called a pregnant year. A pregnant year. They'll have 13 months in it. That's their spiritual calendar. We're going to get into it a little bit more. So understand we have three times. Remember, three times a year shall the Jewish man journey to Jerusalem, the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Three times in a year. The spring festivals, the summer festival, the fall festivals. Three times a year, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Shavuot, the Pentecost, and the Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, which begins with Rosh Hashanah, which is what we're going to talk about, the new year. The spring festivals begin with the Passover. This is important while you're reading your Bible, particularly if you're not a studier of the Bible. In the New Testament times, again, this would have three festivals involved in it. You have the Passover, you have the week of unleavened bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread would be a week long. And what will confuse you, it'll say 8 days you'll eat unleavened bread. Okay? A week isn't 8 days. It's because you eat unleavened bread on the Passover, you eat unleavened bread during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So that counts you 8 days. And then you have the first fruits. Oh, by the way, this is all in Leviticus 23. All in Leviticus. I'm not reading through it because it would take so much time to do that. We'd be here for a week. But the first fruits is then talked about. And first fruits, when you read Leviticus 23, it doesn't give you a time. It doesn't tell you, doesn't tell you when to celebrate the feast. Other than it says, when you enter the land and you reap the harvest, the first harvest from the land that you reap, okay, you first bring in the first fruits into the temple and you do the wave offering there. But it doesn't give you the time. It says, when you enter in. Okay. So they come to the new land. Moses sends in the spies. The spies go in there and they come back and they say, oh, no. It's terrible. Oh, they're giants. So they end up 40 years in the wilderness. And yet all the men who were of age, they've all died except for a few. Okay. And now they come in. Moses brings them to the Jordan, far side of the Jordan. Moses then is taken by God out into the mountains and dies, and God buries him. And Joshua is the one that brings him into the land. Whoops. How'd I do that? Let's back up. Joshua brings them in the land. And when they end the land, the first thing they do is they circumcise. Not my best choice for a time when you're trying to take over a land. You go in there and you're circumcised. But nevertheless, then when they first eat the fruit of the land, when they first, you know, bring forth produce from the land, they first bring it into the temple and do the wave offering. You know when that happens? It just so happens that happens on the first fruit had to be on a Sunday. It had to be after a Sabbath. It happened the Sunday after the Passover. They had the Passover. They're in the middle of the week of unleavened bread, and they do the wave offering. That's very important when you come to the New Testament to understand that God didn't dictate this time. God planned it, though, from eternity past. Then we have the summer festival, the Pentecost, the Shavuot. This one's a hard one to understand. God doesn't give a reason for this. He just says, you'll count seven Sabbaths. It's 49 days. And then the day after the last Sabbath, which would be a Sunday, you celebrate the Pentecost. It's called Pentecost because Penta means 50. So it's 50 days after the celebration of first fruits. So you count out seven Passovers, or seven Sabbaths, and the next day after the seventh one, you have this one. Now the Jews believe now, at least in the website I saw, they think that this celebrates the giving of the law, but I can't tie that down to anything other than God said do it, and of course we find out later in the New Testament why. Then the Fall Festival. Fall Festival is the one we're going to look at mostly. We have the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Trumpets, the first day of Tishri. First day of Tishri, they would sound the horn. Remember, the month is established by the Sanhedrin. They'll tell you this month, tonight, we're going to see the first crescent of the moon, and it'll be the new month. And this new month happens to be Tishri, and the new month is also a new year in this case. So you would blow the horn, and I'm understanding that they don't blow the horn that evening, but they blow the horn the following morning, because you don't blow the horn at night. But they do the Feast of Tishri, the Feast of Trumpets on the first of Tishri, and then on the 10th day, I believe it is the Day of Atonement, when the high priest goes into the temple one time a year. He enters the temple on the Day of Atonement. And then the Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, happens on this month. So we'll go ahead and we'll kind of look it out now. Now I'm setting it up as a social calendar. So you see the Tishri happens right here. The Feast of Trumpets happens on the first, Day of Atonement on the 10th, like I said. And then the Feast of Booths happens on the 15th through the 22nd. Then come all the way out here and you have the Passover on the 14th. Remember, they would take the lamb on the 10th day. They would watch it. And then on the 14th day, at twilight, Let me talk a little bit about twilight, what I understand about twilight. The actual word means between evening. Between evening. And what does that mean? Does that mean between this evening and the following evening? Well, that would be an entire day. What it means, and I learned this, the Jews count the day over when the sun sets. I don't know if you've ever watched the movie Cincinnati Kid, where Gene Wilder is a rabbi, and they're trying to get away from the bad guys, and it's the Sabbath. He can't move, and the bad guys are coming. He can't move. So he's waiting until that sun sets. The sun sets. Okay, and now he can move. Okay, so that's when you no longer see the sun. You can see light coming from the sun, but you no longer see the body of the sun. That would be called sunset. But that's not evening yet. Evening is identified when you see three stars at night. If you can spot three stars, that's formally evening. So what about that time between when you no longer see the sun, but you can't see stars yet, until now you can see stars? That's the between. That's the between. That's why we translate it as twilight, that twilight time. That's when the sacrifice should be sacrificed. Then you have the unleavened bread on the 15th. So that means on the 14th, which begins on the 13th in the evening. Sorry if this is confusing. The 13th in the evening would be beginning of the Passover. The end of the Passover is the next evening, but that starts the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is the one where in the New Testament, Paul says, Christ our Passover has been sacrificed, therefore let us keep the feast. He's talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that's when you remove sin. He's saying, and that's why, if you look at the context, he's talking about, you know, not dwelling in sin, not living in sin. Okay. Then the first fruits, that's the day of Christ's resurrection. You know, that was to be the day of first fruits, the first Sunday after the Passover. You celebrate the day of first fruits, and that first Sunday of after the Passover, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. 50 days later, you have the Pentecost. All right. This was done back in 2014, so it doesn't fit to today's calendar, but it was just too much work to change it. But this is an idea. The Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the year, Rosh Hashanah, the sounding of the trumpet, Yom Kippur on the 10th, happened to be Saturday, the Sukkoth, the Feast of Tabernacles. For a week. By the way, this feast, I understand, is going to be celebrated during the millennial reign. That's what I want to get to eventually, is understand the three series of festivals here. Spring Festival, that's the Passover. In 2014, it would have been here Sunday night to Monday night, the Passover, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first fruits is always on a Sunday, remember? Always the very first Sunday after the Passover. So in this year, it would have been right in here. But you celebrate the unleavened bread until. The summer feast, the Shavuot, that's the Pentecost. All right, so let's take a look at what these things mean to us. That's where I want to get to. The Feast of Trumpets, the Atonement, and the Feast of Booths. Again, I've got this set up in the social calendar or civil calendar rather than in the spiritual one. But the Feast of Trumpets, the Atonement, and the Booths. The Trumpets is a proclamation. We have a proclamation. Before Christ came, John the Baptist came. A proclamation sounding the trumpet. Make way the pathway of the Lord. So John the Baptist, I identify with the Feast of Trumpets. The atonement, the great high priest Jesus on the cross dying for the sins of the world, and the Feast of Booths I identify as provision. So proclamation, propitiation, provision is the church of God. God is building the tabernacle. God in the person of Jesus Christ is building his church in there. Then the springtime, the Passover, the appropriation, eat the feast. If you have not eaten the flesh of the Son of Man and drank his blood, you have no life in yourself. You eat the flesh. The Passover is sacrifice. This is kind of global looking, world looking from the world view. But this is personal. This is personal here. Okay? So this is looking at me. Have I applied the blood to the doorpost? Have you applied the blood of Christ to your doorpost? That's your life. This is life. Applying that blood to my life, my doorpost, as it were, that's the appropriation. You have to appropriate. The Word of God in Romans, no, in John, but to as many as received him, gave he the right to become children of God. That's what he's talking about. Again, Jesus said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, he's not going to be talking about cannibalism. He's talking about taking him fully in. Not just trying him out, not just tasting him in your mouth, but taking fully in to the person. The appropriation. The Passover identifies that. The unleavened bread, that's keeping the feast. Living my life today, that week after, living my life apart from sin. Removing sin. Removing sin in my life. And then the first fruits, proclaiming the feast, the acclamation. this is my life, giving fruit. This is also, you could look at it, again, this was the day when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And if the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead, he will also raise you from the dead. He's talking about living in this life, a risen life. And then the summer festival, the ingathering, the accumulation. This again was the birth of the church. Bringing God's people together from all walks of life, bringing God's people together. So in closing, I'll close a little early today. In closing, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Again, I'll point out, if you're here today and you have not received him, if you have not applied the blood to the doorpost, to the lintel of your life, if you have not tasted, have not eaten the flesh of the Son of Man, if you have not claimed him, your own personal Savior, then you still live in the world, you still live out there in the darkness, and Jesus said there's only one place for you, the outer darkness. God wants you in his kingdom. God, I don't care what walk of life you've had, God wants you in his kingdom. He came and died for you for that very special purpose, that he wants you to come. But if you're unwilling to come to him, then the only out he has is to judge you on your life. And you don't want to be there, because God's already said, if I have to do that, the end is a lake of fire. The end is a lake of fire. Jesus spoke of the lake of fire. He spoke of that place. He said, where the worm never dies. Where the worm never dies. The meaning of that is, in that culture, the understanding of why the body decays and returns back to dust is that a worm eats your body. Eats your body. And when you're finally completely consumed, the worm no longer has anything to eat, it dies. When the worm never dies, that means he's never finished eating. It's eternal destruction. Eternal destruction does not mean you were destroyed and no longer exist for the rest of eternity. Eternal destruction means you are being destroyed for all eternity. After 65 million years, you're still being destroyed, and there is no hope in hell. So I pray, consider the things I'm sharing. This is a new year coming, a new year coming. A new year is spent looking back, and by the way, the Jewish name for year, interesting to me at least, newish word for year is a noun form of the verb is to change. The verb is to change. Okay, that's why we like to, at the New Year's time, we like to look back on the year. Did we accomplish the things we wanted to accomplish this year, and we look forward to the next year. What are we going to accomplish this next year? Karen and I sat down the other day and we talked about things we've accomplished this year. Usually has to do with the house. We managed to put a new roof on the house. I was getting a little concerned. It's 20 years. Okay, what are we going to do this year? Maybe the fireplace. We'll see. But there's spiritual things as well we want to do, like read through the Bible this year. I want to read through the Bible. I want to open a new book in the Old Testament and study that and get an understanding for that. Plans for the new year. Looking back and seeing what you've accomplished. Have you accomplished? What do you want to change? What do you want to change? A new year, what do you want to change? I know from a business standpoint, I work for several businesses. Every beginning of a year, the leadership of the company will get together and they'll say, okay, how did we do last year? How did we do? We had goals for last year. Did we accomplish? Did we not? What goals do we want to look for today, this year? And they'll set out and say, these are the things we want to focus on this year. And then all of us will strive towards that because the captain is saying, this is the direction. This is the way we want to go. I'll challenge our elders here. As a church at Wilmington Bible Chapel, what do we want to accomplish this year? Where do we want to move this year? How do we want to grow this year? That's what the New Year time looks at, is what do we want to be focusing on? What do we want to look to this year to accomplish for God's glory? And again, the most important thing, if you're not saved, the most important thing is come into the family of God. To come into the family of God. What's holding you back from entering into the family of God? Don't let it be people like me, because there's always going to be a reason. Think about Christ. The gal who shared Christ with me said, Skip, if you look at the church, you'll always find hypocrisy because it's made up of people. Look at Jesus. So I'll give that to you. Look at Jesus. Consider him, because you won't find better than he. Let's close in prayer. Father, Lord, we do thank you again for your grace and mercy. Thank you for this past year, things we've seen, things we've accomplished, some heartbreaks and some joys. And Lord, we look forward to this coming year, perhaps this year, we shall hear the trumpet. Perhaps this year, we shall hear the trumpet call, come home. Lord, if there be any among us here that aren't a part of the body of Christ, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak to them, to draw them, to coax them, to come and consider the person of Jesus who died for their sins, Lord. We pray that you bless the day. We pray that you'd watch over us today. We pray that as we gather together tonight, that you'd make it a time of great rejoicing and encouragement. We thank you in Jesus' name.